you smell what Barack has cooked.
I'm here to challenge you to a match.
When it comes to standing up for the American people, I am ready to rumble.
I think that we may need a wrestler in the White House.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Great American Bash. My name is Brandon Weatherby.
And my name is Chris Kelly.
In Washington, D.C., home of the nation's capital, and the very close to open Trump Hotel.
I passed it the other day on my bike.
They're putting the sign up today.
Oh, is that
today?
It's
an exciting day.
It's an exciting day here.
We have to timestamp all these because inevitably between when we record them and when we post them, something happens. It is Thursday, September 8th in the evening, the early evening. Inevitably, there will be a Nazi tweet around midnight tonight. And we'll miss it. Oh, well. We'll get it next time.
Whole thing. And that's what happened last time. I mean, but we were at least prepared for that.
We had an idea of what was going to happen.
Yes. And as the we recorded after Donald Trump had met with the president of Mexico, but before his speech in Arizona.
That's correct.
And I'll leave it to the New York Times, who ran a headline shortly after his speech. Trump swerves on immigration, but still vows to build a wall. We didn't get swerved.
We did not. We were the only two people that did not get swerved by the inevitable. He's a liar, but he's also perfect. He's our little liar. Donald Trump went into Mexico and said very little.
Yeah.
Very not controversial, which not controversial in this election means he did a great job. And then a few hours later in Arizona, he said, I'm the best. Everyone, they're going to pay for it. They just don't know it. And then the next day, the dude from Mexico is like, no, the opposite happened. And that's it.
You get swerved.
Yeah, and it's over now. That was a long time ago. That was Friday. It is now Thursday.
Things have changed.
Yeah, but the it swerved, and the reason we are particularly fans of that headline is a swerve in wrestling terminology would be when the storyline has changed to surprise the audience. It's also the name of a very popular
your favorite
WWE Network show.
Your favorite WWE produced show
from the makers of Jackass.
Do you want to tell the kind people listening at home what you brought to NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 2015?
Oh, yeah. It was a sign that said, stay tuned for Swerve.
You were so proud of yourself for that.
Yeah, we had a good time.
That should be the motto for this election.
Stay tuned for Swerve.
Yeah.
Well, we are staying tuned because that's what's happening. New York Times also had another headline that we got a chuckle out of. Hillary Clinton gets gored. In this, it was Paul Krugman's op-ed basically subtweeting his own newspaper about how they should probably not do what they did in 2000, which was get really chummy with Bush, overlook his entire record. And then because Gore was this, distant, kind of cold, technocratic guy that they couldn't warm up to, mm-hmm. give him, start saying things like he invented the internet, which he never said. The rest is history. And basically saying, yeah, there's all these false equivalencies between Clinton and Trump. They're really pushing the both sides do it, even when there's nothing there, as we've talked about. Mm-hmm. What was Clinton's thing when there's smoke but no fire?
Yeah, but she doesn't realize smoke is bad. That's bad optics.
Right. But
you don't want any smoke.
But the fact that there was no smoke or fire.
No, there was smoke. Smoke is a true analogy.
Okay.
Because you fucked up.
Right.
You fucked up. She didn't put it out right away. She still let the smoke happen. And this is on her team.
Mm-hmm.
This is a Democratic problem.
Yeah.
That's on you people. Fix it.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if the other side's lying. It's your job to make it very clear that the other side is lying.
Right.
Good on the GOP. It's all system of mirrors, man. If you can make it work, you make it work.
Yeah, but this is what keeps happening. I mean, the press clearly does treat Trump and Clinton differently.
Highlighted last night. In the Commander-in-Chief Presidential Debate Forum. So it was Matt Lauer doing a 5-minute, I'm on the boat, prepackaged, pre-taped, whatever. 25 minutes with Clinton, about 25 minutes with Trump, and then another, when was this, last night? So about 20 hours of Matt Lauer did a bad job on all of cable news and the internet.
As it should be. Generally, I didn't watch it live. I've watched clips and read some of the analysis. But
I watched it live. I'm glad I did.
Yeah.
Completely serious. I skipped a rock and roll show to watch the presidential forum because I figured any venue that's good enough to have both a body slam competition featuring Lex Luger and Yokozuna is good enough to hold my attention during a commander-in-chief forum. It was on the USS Intrepid.
Yes.
And the first 25 minutes was very wonky-ish. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't say very and then ish at the end of a sentence, but it was very boring and it was very in the weeds. And your policy's this. It opened with a question about emails, which is horrible. Clinton team is doing a horrible job on this yet again. And then it was the following 25 minutes was Matt Lauer not asking any follow-up questions and Donald Trump lying and doing a great job doing it.
Yeah, the fact that Hillary Clinton is still getting tripped up on the emails question, the fact that Matt Lauer is just being kind of like a sexist jerk and over-talking and cutting her off and all that. Because, yes, we did have another 25 minutes where you had to talk to the other guy, but it's not the first time either of them has done this. And then Trump restating his lie about his position about the Iraq war, that he was against it. Even though, see, this is actually, I want to sidetrack on this. The Iraq war thing, looking at like the fact check of this, it's kind of that example of something I was talking about a few weeks ago about how he uses Trump's like second grade reading level or speaking level helps him around this stuff because he never actually says full sentences. He doesn't say fully declaratory things that would get him in trouble. Like his support of the Iraq war was he was on Howard Stern, where most politicians announce their policy positions. And he said like, yeah, I guess so. Let's go for it. Like he didn't say, you know, and then
last night in the rebuttal, Clinton brought up Howard Stern very early, which is very smart. And then about 30 minutes later, Trump brought up, well, an Esquire of that year, I said this. So Esquire and Howard Stern are now our two main sources for whether or not one of the two major presidential candidates was for or against a war.
Step aside New York Times and Wall Street Journal.
Yeah. Here's another thing. Why doesn't Clinton say, yeah, I was given bullshit information?
Yeah, I mean,
why doesn't that ever come up?
Why are we religious, relitigating?
They're not good at this.
No,
they don't. No, it's not about nuances, guys. It's really not.
But we keep seeing that. I mean, but Trump also was like on fire for being Trump. He
trumped it up. It was pretty great.
He compared, like, he brought up Putin's fake poll numbers, like, favorably. Like,
he's got 84%.
I mean, even they're making those numbers up. That's pretty good. I mean, he could do 99, but he's classy. Does 84. he agreed with a tweet he made in 2013 about, like, military rape happens because they serve together.
That's an accurate tweet.
That's a quote.
Oh, God.
And also, he well-actuallyed a female veteran about the suicide rates and was wrong. She said there was 20 suicides a day. He said, actually, it's
23.
And he was
more
wrong.
More suicides a day?
He went in he's trying to make them look worse. Because he's all like, keeps saying the general.
He's so great. Yeah. I love it so much. Yeah. It's so. So when we were talking about this after the fact, this just reminded me of the Stone Cold Dean Ambrose podcast.
Yes.
And I know we're going to get to that later.
Yes, we are.
But let me just plant that seed. Let's continue. Okay.
Yeah, so these false equivalencies that were and the kind of double standards we're seeing here in the press, like it keeps happening. So there was, we were talking last time about the Clinton Foundation, how at the end of the day, there was no story.
There's no story.
Yes. Versus the Trump Foundation, which gave an illegal $25,000 donation to the Florida AG, Pam Bondi's reelection campaign.
For this election cycle, too. She's in. She's running now.
Is she running right?
She's running in 2016.
Okay, yeah. So
let me just double check.
Yeah.
Talking.
And it's, suggesting, that's, she's the AG over the case of the Trump University suit. And so now his foundation, which is not under tax law, able to give donations. He already got, I think they got hit with like a $5,000 fine on that one. And he's basically saying, why would you think that there's a quid pro quo there? And you compare this to when Bill Clinton made the misguided idea to have like a meeting with Loretta Lynch during the FBI investigation. And now Trump is on the plane meeting with Bondi after he's given her $25,000. And it's just like that second story, the Trump Foundation story, is really not being reported, but we're still hearing about emails and the Clinton Foundation.
The most recent headlines, some of them are Pam Bondi says she won't be bullied by Hillary Clinton over Trump donation. It's awesome. It's so smart.
Yeah, they've really spun it. And so what you call out illegal activity, that's bullying.
It's kind of like how the WWE has a no bullying campaign.
But heels are bullies.
This is so great. This is so great.
Yeah. One of my favorite false equivalencies that's happened recently was Trump trolling Clinton, because that's just what it is, over giving Anthony Weiner, quote, close proximity to highly classified information. Like, it's going to, I imagine him sending a dick pic, but there's like a CIA report in the background. Like, what does he think is going to happen? Basically, this is after Anthony Weiner literally once again got his pants down, because he's just a horrible person. You watch the documentary.
Oh, it's so worth watching.
Yeah. And, I mean, that came out, and now there's been another one. Is that actually viral marketing for the documentary?
These filmmakers are just, they're having the best year ever. This campaign is for these two. I'm assuming it's a duo. I don't know why, or this person. It is shocking in every way. You know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. We live through this. None of this is surprising.
We live through it. It's very, we're survivors.
We're on Scandal 3 of the same thing. And it took to, this is really bad optics for her campaign. I am shocked that the Trump campaign just doesn't play up. Wiener's wife is Hillary Clinton's like biggest advisor.
They haven't played that up. And have they played up the fact that
not
his last
enough.
Name is Wiener? Have they played that up? You know, but I think something that you can learn from this, if you're going to do the sexting like I'm a 50-year-old man. So I don't, you know, Wiener doesn't really ever, did he ever do a nude, like a full nude pic? Or it's just been like boxer,
to my
like,
knowledge,
look at
no.
my dick in the gym. And
yeah.
Like his dick is the little gnome that goes to places. Like, look at my
all
dick
right.
next to my son. So Seth Rollins.
Oh, he's using his son for scale. Oh, shit.
It looks cute. No, I'm just, Seth Rollins, your once and future Universal, well, not once, but future Universal champion at some point, once again got caught sexting. But he's learned his lesson. His face and his dick were not in the picture. But I'll save you most of it. But the line, "I have no doubt you'll please me quite well," is like, so he's a heel even when he's sexting.
Oh, this guy didn't go to college. It's so clear.
Oh, yeah. Reading all those texts, if you find those, they're pretty gross and hilarious. When I was reading them to my wife, she was like, "Wait, I wasn't paying attention. I thought you were just making that up. That can't be something that someone said." You know, so speaking of heel work, a little note here that Melania Trump and Roger Ailes have now both hired Charles Harder, Hulk Hogan's lawyer. Are you laughing at his last name?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
This is the best election ever.
Yeah, it is.
So the Harder guy is on the Republican side, but the Wiener guy is on the Democratic side.
Gotta keep it straight.
Man, if these parties could just come together.
What was that wrong?
Have a Harder Wiener ticket. Jesus Christ.
Wow. Yeah, it's 102 degrees today. I think your brain melted.
Oh, my God. This is the dumbest election cycle.
And we brought up Melania Trump's, you know, the one they were just talking about, a lawsuit, a defamation lawsuit against the Daily Mail. But she also, the Harder, had venue shopped and found a Maryland blogger who was also making these claims about her being an escort. Because Maryland still has a statute on that, quote, "A single or married woman whose character or reputation for chastity is defamed by any person may maintain an action against that person."
Well, all right.
Yes. And meanwhile, Ailes, we don't know about his reputation for chastity, but the sexual harassment story, he's basically doing, document stuff on that. And Fox just settled with Gretchen Carlson for $20 million.
And his payout from Fox News was?
I don't have it all.
40.
40. 40. So guess what you should do? Should you be sexually harassed or should you do the harassing?
Come on!
That's just math, people.
This is crazy.
Yeah. You know, and I feel like a lot of these stories, we just, as the week goes by, we get a
fuller
picture.
There's too many.
We get a fuller picture, though. But this thing from last time of Trump attacking Clinton's health, even with his quack doctor, now she was in, is it Cleveland? And she had a coughing fit. Basically because she talks all day, and she has for 25 years.
And she has seasonal allergies, and that's in her report.
Yes. So she's in a coughing fit. Now the alt-right and the right-wing and just the media are in their own fit because they're obsessed with this, and Trump's working them on this. And she did for the first time, actually, because I don't think she gets enough zingers in, but she did. She's like, every time I think about Trump, I get allergic. So like that's the level she needs to work on. She needs to work on sound bites, which I don't know how this is still something she doesn't know 25 years in, or the people around her don't know.
To be fair, it's never been like this.
It's always been like this. She's always been under constant attack by a vast
Understood.
Right-wing conspiracy.
Oh, yeah, that's true. It's never been this fun.
That might be true. But, you know, Trump's basically making this story out of a non-story, out of a fake illness. And it's actually something I was thinking separately, but of, like, looking at what's going on in wrestling and how almost every WWE story is kind of working, making works out of shoot injuries.
I know we always say work.
I know. Okay,
we need to explain.
A work is fake. You're working.
Yes.
You're working the marks, the fans, and a shoot is real.
Okay, so shoot equals truth. work equals fake.
Yes.
Okay.
So they're taking, and some of these are fully worked. There's no injury, and they're still making a story out of it. But some of them are based on real injuries. So I have like a few of them, and it's a lot. But so Sasha Banks on Monday, she teased that she had some bad news about her back, which is legitimately injured. It's legitimately why they took the belt off her. But in storyline, Charlotte's also been attacking her back. Carmella has been targeting Nikki Bella's surgically repaired neck. This is a, these are fake ones, but Cesaro is down. Well, now he's up. He's 1-3 of one.
It's a best of seven series against this guy named Sheamus. Sheamus at one point was up 3-0 because Cesaro in storyline got hurt in the first match.
Hurt his back. Sami Zayn, he injured his ankle in that match against Rollins, where they were teasing that Rollins is going to do the same thing he did to Balor, and they've actually continued that. Ankle keeps being a problem in storyline. The Usos finally turned heel fully by injuring, this is a, in quotes, this is a shoot, excuse me, this is a work, so this is why it does get confusing, by injuring Chad Gable's knee and taking them out of the tag tournament. You brought up...
this is my absolute favorite. Let's close with that one.
Okay. And then some minor ones, but in the Cruiserweight Classic, Ibushi's neck, which is surgically repaired, he kept getting dropped on it in really painful-looking ways. And also what we talked about a couple weeks ago about The Miz doing that work shoot promo about Daniel Bryan's injuries and real-life reason why he's not wrestling.
So the thing I want to talk about was the only not-work injury in all of this, which is Dean Ambrose on Stone Cold Steve Austin's podcast. Stone Cold Steve Austin had to retire a long time ago before, like, in his prime, because of his horrible, horrible finisher, which involved him slamming his spine into the mat, essentially.
Yeah.
So he had to retire a long time ago, and it's really sad, and he'd never lived to his full potential, blah, 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 blah. Dean Ambrose, current WWE champion, has the belt, went on Stone Cold Steve Austin's podcast. Oh, God. We live in a silly time. And explained how a promo works for him. And he explained a worksheet. He did like a sort of a worksheet promo about Stone Cold's knee. And if your knee is bad, I'm going to target your knee and blah, 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 blah. He made up an ailment and then continued to explain how if this was a real feud over weeks, if not months, they would consistently talk about it and focus on the problem area. That's what this cough thing is.
Yeah.
And it's fucking brilliant. Yeah. And it's so easy to shut down. And it's so difficult to explain to someone that's smart.
Yeah. Also, I will note there that the knee injury is also real.
Yeah, yeah, because he used to come out in a brace and stuff like that.
Both knees are braced and beat up. But just this, the fact that he gave the playbook of how you do an injury work shoot is pretty great. So one of the other ones, like we said, the Miz and D-Bride thing got us really paying attention to Talking Smack, which is the 30-minute follow-up show to SmackDown that's exclusively on the network. And while they haven't capitalized on that, it's still the best thing that WWE is doing.
For sure, other than Swerved, your favorite television show.
Well, that's currently on hiatus, so until it comes back, yeah. So last week, something we didn't come up was the fact that AJ Styles, who had been crotched on the ropes, which is exactly what it sounds like.
I forgot about that.
That was how the show ended, was just like him
getting hit. It's a comedy, guys. We like to have fun.
I mean, Barney's film has heart, but Football in the Groin has a football in the groin. So AJ gets on the show, and he's, like, wincing about how he's still in pain. He's, like, in his Gainesville, Georgia accent, I got hit my Jesus zipper. And I was like, what? Everybody, the two hosts of the show, and I assume most people at home were like, what the hell did he just say? I thought he said Jesus zipper, which I was like, well, that's a little racy. I think it meant, like, Jesus seam.
I've heard Jesus seam.
And that's, Jesus zipper is even better. And it sounds great. So but this week, I think this is their best show, even with the Miz, D-Bry episode was really good. Mm-hmm. Daniel Bryan is out there, and nobody being Vince is watching the show. Like, Vince is not watching the show. So he went on there in succession. He told Renee, his female co-host, to shut your mouth, quiet your face about SmackDown, the possibility of SmackDown going to 3 hours. He said the Hype Brothers instead of the Hype Bros and had to be corrected about the team that's on his own show. He won a sword in an Olympic weightlifting competition recently, apparently. This actually happened. There's video.
Send me a tweet.
Yeah. He also broke his phone imitating something that happened in the show. He threw it for real, not knowing that you could mimic something with your hand without actually doing it. And then when he brought up that Dolph Ziggler was the guest, and Renee brought up how he's worked with Fox and Fox Business, and something we've talked about.
He's a regular contributor to Kennedy's show, Kennedy Nation.
Right. On Fox Business. And Dan O'Brien, this is the first time he's hearing this.
But you've been really busy outside of WWE as well. I mean, you've been working with Fox and Fox Business as a correspondent and panelist.
What?
Yeah.
You work with Fox Business? Like,
that's great.
Who gave you the okay for this?
Actually, no one. So maybe we should stop yelling. but it's a very cool thing. I covered both conventions. And I even...
Which conventions?
The Democratic and Republican conventions.
Okay. What about the third party conventions?
I actually talked to Gary Johnson, interviewed him personally.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is that who you're voting for?
I will not give that out because I cannot take the garbage on Twitter if I pick one. But I love being an outside
interviewer. I never understood why it's so... Why you're not supposed to talk about who you're voting for.
No, you can say it if you want. Oh. If you pick one side,
I just want everybody to know I'm voting for Jill Stein. Sure. I'm voting for Jill Stein of the Green Party.
Well, cool. She'll get some of the ballots. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, she's probably won't even be in the debates.
But it's got to start somewhere,
right? It has to start somewhere.
2%. She was at 0% a couple weeks ago. 2%, that's huge.
It'll make a big difference.
It's good milk.
That's actually one of our first episodes where we got a quote from Dolph Ziggler on the floor of the Republican National Convention. That's what he was doing there.
Yeah, and he was covering both conventions, to which...
They had to go, what conventions?
Yeah. Renee knows the audience, okay? You got to be clear. Dan O'Brien chimed in. This is so great, though. Dan O'Brien chimed in that, you should have gone to the third-party conventions. And he's like, well, I spoke with Gary Johnson.
By the way, I was there when he was speaking to Gary Johnson. Yeah. You know how you and me are the only people in the room?
Mm-hmm.
That's how it was for Gary Johnson at the Republican National Convention. He would grant an interview to anyone willing to give him 5 minutes. No, most people did not give him 5 minutes.
Even Dolph Ziggler. But, Ziggler wouldn't bring up who he was endorsing. Like, they were asking, is that who you're going to vote for? But they did. Dan O'Brien offered, unasked, that he'll be voting for Jill Stein. Dan O'Brien had to retire from professional wrestling because he had too many concussions and brain damage and seizures. So there's your Jill Stein voter. Ziggler in the past has compared himself, I think, on something with Kennedy, too.
On Fox Nation, who would be who in this election? It's really bad.
All his comparisons are horrible.
They're really bad. But a few of them make sense. He said that Donald Trump is like Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, they get stuff like that.
John Cena is like Hillary Clinton, and he is like Rand Paul. So he's clearly a Rand Paul supporter.
Yes, which suggests that he's a Gary Johnson guy. Libertarian. It sounds like it from everything I've gathered from him skirting around the issues is that he's a Gary Johnson guy. Gary Johnson, not always... in the news, rarely in this podcast. There was a good piece at the is it Jacobin? Is that how you pronounce that?
Sure.
Okay, so like the lefty magazine. Good piece about his actual policies when he was in New Mexico as the governor. Whereas now he likes to be these like the cool libertarian dad who smokes pot. You might want to go look at the actual record there, Dolph. But he was on Morning Joe and they asked him what he would do about Syria, specifically Aleppo.
What would you do if you were elected about Aleppo?
About?
Aleppo.
And what is Aleppo?
You're kidding.
No.
Aleppo is in Syria. It's the epicenter of the refugee crisis.
Okay, got it.
Okay.
Well, with regard to Syria, I do think that it's a mess. I think that the only way that we deal with Syria is to join hands with Russia to diplomatically bring that at an end. But when we've aligned ourselves when we've supported the opposition, the Free Syrian Army, is also coupled with the Islamists, and then the fact that we're also supporting the Kurds, It's just a mess.
Listen, not everything is as simple as it seems. Sometimes you hear one thing and you think of another. All right, there's no excuse for this.
Did he think like he meant like a single Aleppo? Like, what are you going to do about like the Aleppo population? Like,
I don't know.
It's real bad. He clearly didn't know what it was.
No,
And his Siri answer is also bad. It's like we should join hands with 82% Putin over here to solve the Syrian crisis. So it's bad. It's just bad.
How is this? All right.
So they gave him an opportunity to prove that the criticisms of libertarians aren't true, and he totally blew it. So my question, and I'm really proud of this, but my question is, do you think Gary Johnson will get any backlash.
Fuck you. Fuck you.
You don't like puns. I like puns. Backlash is the first SmackDown-only pay-per-view of this brand split era. It's coming up. I want to just go through a few of these because we've talked about some of these things before. We just go down the card in case you have anything about this. So,
About this very exciting card they have on Sunday?
Well, yeah, this is the problem. So Ambrose and AJ, they've also had 3 weeks since SummerSlam to build this for their weaker, a three-hour pay-per-view for their weaker brand on paper. So Ambrose and AJ have now both traded nut shots, but that's it.
All right.
And I think Stone Cold was actually right. The stuff he was telling Ambrose of like show a little fire, like show you give a shit. Meanwhile, we've had backstage promos of like Ambrose in a funny hat, Ambrose pouring sugar into coffee. You know, it's like, I like Ambrose a lot, and he did have a really good line, and they've done some good promo work recently, but not great. The Miz Ziggler, which is basically like Ziggler fighting for Daniel Bryan's honor, I guess. His promo on Talking Smack after the political stuff was good. It was
as good as he's ever done, but it's still not good.
No, I think his one against Ambrose.
Miz's middling promos are better than Ziggler's best.
Sure. And there was, once again, it was like that, the thing they're doing on Talking Smack where it's a work shoot. He mentioned like how I've been too good to succeed, which is paradoxical, but he's very good in the role of the guy who loses and makes the person they want to win look better.
Do you think he's going to win simply because later this month he's going to be inducted in his college wrestling Hall of Fame?
No.
I think that they're
They get no pop off. They'll mention it, but
no, I disagree. I think that they give him the belt to get a bigger photo op. Is it the State Hall of Fame or is it just his college?
Just Kent State.
Just Kent State Hall of Fame? So yeah. Ziggler.
He was at Kent State where he was a shoot wrestler.
Yeah, yes. He was really good. This is so dumb. This is so
they're fun. Not. I
think they're going to give him the belt and continue the feud and maybe swap it back and forth throughout the year.
Like they've done previously with the IC belt with Miz and Ziggler. That's possible. We have all six women on the roster. Six of seven, I should say, because Eva Marie is still suspended. But she'll be back after the pay-per-view. But yeah, it's a six-pack there. And I mean, I think the smart money's probably just giving Nikki the belt. But I think Becky should get it at some point.
I enjoy watching all these women wrestle. They're all good.
Yeah.
I like this way more than I like the tag team division.
Yes. The tag team division
does
have some depth issues.
That being said, this has my favorite match.
Yes, because the American Alpha is... they've been taken out because of injury, in quotes. The Usos and the Hype Brothers will face off, and the winner of that will face Rhino and Heath Slater.
And that's why it's my favorite. I am more interested in what happens in ring and out of ring with Rhino than anyone else on the card right now. Once again, Rhino is running for Michigan House. He is the Republican nominee for the 15th District. This is real.
House, yeah.
This is not a work election. This is a shoot election for the state house in Michigan. And Rhino is most likely going to win on a pay-per-view or tag team belt. And he has not had a belt since, I think, the late 90s.
Well, I don't think they're going to win.
I think they're going to win. Okay.
I think Usos win because then you have American Alpha chase them. Plus, the second you have Heath Slater actually win something and have his contract, he's just back to being Heath Slater. And he doesn't get to bring out his seven redheaded stepchildren and say one of them doesn't have a tongue. Like, that's
fair point.
Miss on stuff like that. And then something that literally no one cares about, even the two men in it, Bray Wyatt versus Randy Orton.
Moving on.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's it pretty much for this week.
No, there's two other notes.
Okay.
When is Backlash?
Oh, yeah, Backlash is on September 11th. Never forget that, Brandon.
And we're missing the biggest fight of the weekend, former WWE superstar, current UFC superstar, CM Punk.
Yeah, at UFC 203 in Cleveland. In the arena that he ended his WWE career.
In the arena that also housed the Republican National Convention.
Yes. I didn't want to talk about that because I like CM Punk. I mean, he is, like, you know what you get with him, and
Vegas,
it's not all
what
good.
What are the Vegas odds on this? Have you looked?
No, I haven't, but it's not great.
Let's end the show with that.
With Vegas odds. So anyway, his thing recently has been that he is possibly working the media and his opponent and saying that he's having a lot of trouble cutting weight. It's not going great. He's never done it before, which if he doesn't make weight, if they do the fight, if he's not so over that they still do it, he could lose, I think, 25% of his purse, which he's like, yeah, I'm not giving you your biggest payday of your life because I couldn't cut weight. But there's a good chance that I think the best outcome for CM Punk is like he immediately gets knocked out. Because otherwise he might die in the octagon.
Punk's odds are 3-1 odds, and how do you say his name?
Gall.
Gall's odds are 1-4 odds.
1-4.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So good luck.
He's a heavy underdog. But yes, so UFC 203 on September 10th, Backlash on 9/11.